Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Today is day 11, and we'll be covering chapter 7, part 1, in the TAN edition of the book, covering the entry into Carmel of the Little Flower. But before we jump into this timeless memoir and spiritual guide, let us begin with a short prayer written by Saint Therese called To the Holy Face. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. O adorable face of Jesus, O beauty which ravishes my heart, vouchsafe to impress on my soul thy divine likeness, so that it may not be possible for thee to look at thy spouse without beholding thyself. O my beloved, for love of thee, I am content not to see here on earth the sweetness of thy glance, nor to feel the ineffable kiss of thy sacred lips, but I beg of thee to inflame me with thy love, so that it may consume me quickly, and that soon Therese of the Holy Face may behold thy glorious face in heaven. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The story of a soul written under obedience gained universal demand because it taught people of the spiritual childhood of the little flower. Pope Pius XI said that it would bring great profit to souls, and that is because of its kindness charity. Last time, we discussed the visit to Pope Leo XIII, and how her escape from the world was authentic. Today we're going to cover many things, and a couple of them, one of them will be her farewell to her father, and the first trial when she went into Carmel. So, at that farewell, it is easy to paint the scene, because Therese wrote very vividly of it. She said this, quote, I kissed the whole family, then knelt before Father's blessing. He knelt down too, and he was crying as he blessed me. It was a sight to gladden the angels, an old man offering to God his child, still in the springtime of life. Then the doors of Carmel closed upon me. The two darling sisters, who had each been a mother to me, embraced me first. Then my new sisters, whose devotion and tenderness are beyond anything those in the world can guess. So this is a very beautiful picture, and we see why St. Louis de Martin was canonized, because of his piety. But his devotion wasn't just pious. It was connected to all the other virtues, including his offering that we'll mention next time. She entered into the Carmel and mentioned that this was her home before heaven. It's very rare for souls in this world to come to a place and to call it their home, where they feel complete peace. One example of where that happened was Sister Mary St. Peter, who was a Carmelite in Tours. When she entered Carmel, she had that inspiration in the bottom of her heart that the Carmel for her was her home. And she was very similar to Therese in that she was a Carmelite, and she had a particular mission in life too, and she died at a very young age. And so we hear the words of the little flower. My dream was at last realized, and peace flooded my soul. A deep, sweet, inexpressible peace, an inward peace, which has been my lot these 8.5 years. It has never left me, not even when trials were at their height. Everything here delighted me. our little cell most of all. It was as though I had been transported to a faraway desert. But my happiness, I must say again, was a calm happiness. I mentioned before that Therese kept her first fervor, and we can see here again how she did that, but it always grew. Quote, I'm here forever now. It was no mere transitory happiness, no passing illusion of one's first enthusiasm. So in the spiritual life, many people get that first enthusiasm and then they don't endure, they don't persevere. And it's the parable of the seeds scattered on different grounds. And so the trials of life are what help bring us to a great height in virtue. And so Therese had her first trial in Carmel, the Reverend Mother. Now the age of Reverend Mother made her treat the little child, the 15-year-old Therese, with contempt. But Therese continued to see Jesus in her superiors. She said this, at first I found the daily bread of my soul dry and bitter. Our Lord allowed Reverend Mother to treat me with great severity, sometimes unconsciously. I could not meet her without getting some reproof or other. On one occasion, I remember, I had left a cobweb in the cloister in front of everyone. She said, the cloisters are obviously swept by a 15-year-old. It is a disgrace. Go and sweep that cobweb away, and in the future, be more careful. And then we have another story. During my apostolacy, our mistress used to send me out to weed the garden at 4:30 every afternoon. It cost me a lot, all the more because I was almost sure to meet Mother Mary Gonzaga on the way. On one such occasion, she remarked, really, this child does nothing at all. There must be something wrong with a novice that has to be sent for a walk every day. And as you can notice, I laughed, and I laughed when I read this a few days ago. God provided an opportunity for her to merit. Then she penetrated God's providence. She said this, she always treated me like this. How I thank God, my darling mother, for such a virile and valuable training. What a priceless gift. So you see how she sees the importance of being cut and burned and not spared on this side of eternity, as St. Louis Bertrand used to say. If we want to be great saints, dear listeners, we should beg St. Therese to intercede for us and Our Lady of Fatima and Our Lady of the Holy Name of God to intercede for us to receive that desire to suffer so that we can become closer to God. We notice also an acceleration of her union with God. And a note, a comment, in the latter stages of the interior life, God accelerates drawing souls to himself. She says this, the more often the cross came my way, the more suffering attracted me. And so we hear about people like St. Francis de Sales, who says the royal road of suffering is the way to salvation. And those who carry their crosses, eventually their cross will carry them. We can definitely see the innocent soul in the little flower versus the sinner. She says this, if I had not found it very difficult to open my heart, my interview with the good Father would have resulted in abundant consolation. However, this is what he told me after I made a general confession. So this was her confessor, her priest confessor. And Father said this, in the presence of God, Our Lady, the angels, and all the saints, I declare that you have never committed a single mortal sin. Thank God for giving you such a grace without any merit on your part. It's very beautiful because Father glorifies Therese. She speaks highly of her, but then Father balances it out so that she doesn't get puffed up with pride, if that would be possible, Thank God for giving you such a grace without any merit on your part. What a mystery. What a mystery. I think we need to be very generous, mortified, and abandoned to God so that even though it would not be any merit, He will shower upon us graces similar to the little flower. Then before I continue, Therese is going to speak about the mothers in the Carmel. And not too long ago, it's December 2023, I had the chance to visit some Carmelites in Texas. And I was given a chance to be in the parlor behind the grill with all 14 or so of the nuns. And I had a chance to speak with them for an hour. And the mother was so motherly. She was an elder, and there were a few other elders, and they had that aura around them. And mother mentioned the venerables. And when she was young, when she entered, she learned from the venerables, the mothers, that their origins are from Mexico, and they were in the Cristeros. So that's a whole nother story. But the young sisters that come to be with the venerables, they're taught the hardships of the spiritual life with a motherly and tender love, but also there's some strictness to it too. So with that background, this is what St. Therese says about the venerables, the holy superiors and the holy mothers that have retired from being superior. One of our older mothers seemed to understand how I felt, for she said to me in recreation one day, "I don't suppose you ever have very much to tell your superiors." "What makes you think that, mother?" "Because you have an extremely simple soul. However, it will be even more simple when you become perfect. The closer we come to God, the more simple we become." So she gives a wonderful compliment because the simplicity of the soul is in mirror of the divinity of God, because God has four attributes: beauty, truth, goodness, and simplicity. Simplicity is sometimes not always included in the attributes. But she continues very wisely, "The closer we come to God, the more simple we become." Then we see the fruit of a robust interior life. Therese says this: "Jesus, as I said, has been my spiritual director. No sooner had Father Pichon undertaken the care of my soul than his superiors sent him off to Canada, reduced to receiving only one letter a year. The little flower which had been transplanted to the Mountain of Carmel soon turned to the director of directors, and she blossomed in the shadow of his cross, having his tears and his precious blood for a refreshing dew, and his adorable face for the sun." We see next the wisdom of the Holy Face. Therese was introduced to the Holy Face devotion by a biography of Sister Mary St. Pierre that was required reading for her when her sister, Sister Agnes, became Mother Agnes for 3 years. "I had not realized till then the richness of the treasures hidden in his adorable face, and it was you who taught me how to find them." So there we see she learned from the biography of Sister Mary St. Peter. "You the first to penetrate the mysteries of love hidden in our beloved's face. Just as you were the first of us to enter Carmel, you revealed them to me now, and I understood more than ever before, that here was true glory. He whose kingdom is not of this world taught me that the only royalty that counts consists in being willing to be ignored and despised, and to find one's joy in self-contempt." Wow. To find one's joy in self-contempt. That simply is being like Jesus. Because Jesus, since his crib to the cross, there was so much contempt placed upon him. Yet he was God himself, most benevolent, and he was treated so cruelly. And so that's why the saints imitate Christ, because they have to also have a self-contempt. And then here's a prayer. I consider this a prayer for souls who wish to see the face of Jesus. Quote, "If only my face, like the face of Jesus, could be hidden from everyone." And that's from Isaiah 53:3. Continuing, quote, "That none on earth might take any notice of me. I long to suffer and to be despised." Again, she wanted to be like Jesus. And that brings us to the end of day 11 in our study of the story of a soul. Thank you so much for listening and joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll be discussing chapter 7, part 2, in which the little flower recounts the examples of her father, St. Louis Martin, in his sanctity, and also the valuable offering of St. Louis Martin to God. Until then, God bless.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Story of a Soul and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.